Welcome to another episode of Unpublished. My name is Amy.
I'm James.
And today we have someone very special on the podcast, someone that me and James have been learning from and loving for a very long time. We have Campbell Walker here, writer, artist, YouTuber, working mum, like all of the above. Like, we are so grateful for you being here.
Thank you. I appreciate you including working mum right at the end there.
It's a very important part of what you do in this world.
I'm actually going to claim having Campbell here because I think I was initially the first consumer of Campbell's content before you.
Yes, but
I think you came home from an event once. I'm like, I met this guy. His name's Campbell. Sometimes I was like, you met Struthless? What?
Yeah, fine. You can claim it, but I'm a big fan. True. And we're really excited to have you here today and to talk about basically anything, but I'm really keen to talk about your creative journey at the moment. I'm particularly keen to talk about pivoting. Because it's something I feel like I'm moving through at the moment. And I know you've had a big journey with that recently. But let's just start off with asking, like, how are you at the moment? How are you creatively? I know it's been a bit of a rough year.
Yeah, no, it's been a bit much. I suppose right now in this exact moment, I'm doing pretty good. If we had to just, like, isolate this one little millisecond and be like, hey, you smiling, brother? The answer's yes. But yeah, I feel like I'm on, I don't know, if we were to draw like a stock chart, like the Dow Jones, but it's, I couldn't think of a good word for creative to insert instead of that. Yeah. I feel like I'm on the mend, which is nice.
Right. That's so exciting.
The last couple of months, I think I've just been in like, I don't know, all sorts of, funk land, and not the good kind, not the Stevie Wonder kind, the bad kind. Yeah, so I feel pretty damn good though now. I feel like a lot of that's kind of in the rear vision mirror and I'm driving away from it with a lit cigarette.
That's hot. I love Thank that.
You. If I could just give a little bit more context for people who aren't maybe familiar with Cam's work. But so the reason that I and Amy got into your work so much was that you have these amazing YouTube videos, which are very Amy adjacent in their message, often about building a sustainable creative life, often about, you know, perfectionism, procrastination. You have these amazing, incredibly well-produced extended.
One even starts with one of Amy's
quotes.
Yeah,
true.
Oh, yeah.
I remember people in our community being like, guess what? You're in a Struthless video.
That's canon. As I told that story, that was literally how it happened. There's no movie magic there. That was literally, I saw that and I'm like, fuck. Whoa. So yeah, thank you. Like,
and it's very, I think if you enjoy what Amy does on Instagram, you will absolutely love Campbell's videos. And for me, it's just been, I think I went back and the first video of yours I watched was in early 2020. So it must've been a COVID thing. I must've been feeling depressed in COVID or something. And then one of your videos must've shown up in the algorithm because I'm a YouTube power user. Amy just mostly watches ASMR on YouTube, which is that. And actually, she's ruined my algorithm because she has my premium account, but it's like, it's so messed up. But so like for context, you were making, it wasn't how you actually, you didn't start off making the creativity videos, did you? You were doing more how to draw stuff.
Oh, even before that, it was, I didn't even make videos. Videos were sort of a happy accident because I was making comics and I loved making comics. Cool. Yeah, but there was one comic that was just a little bit too complex to express. And I really liked single panel comics. I didn't really like multi-panel comics. I like personally, I love them as a consumer, but that wasn't what I was looking. And then there was this idea that I had, and I'm like, ah, oh, it's too complex. Oh, fuck it. I'll just turn on the camera and explain it. And I don't know. Yeah, I kind of caught the bug after that.
And that was your, and then you pivoted away from that. Like it took you about a year to get to the creativity stuff, right?
Or... Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. So like, I started, I was just sort of, I don't know, I'm definitely, it's probably me honoring a tradition I've had since my birth, but my life is an accident. And so I feel like, yeah, as it rolls forward, it was like drawing. Then I'm like, well, if I want to try videos, I guess I'll incorporate drawing into them. And then, I don't know, one thing led to another and I realized what I liked doing and what I felt comfortable doing. And just did it.
I don't want to make you form like a coherent narrative out of it because I feel we really associate with just sort of like, I don't know how far in advance you plan things, but we very much stumble between from project to project. And like, we don't have like a 5-year plan or anything.
I sometimes like that Casey Neistat metaphor where he talks about the Tarzan rope and you let go and just hope that one's there. And I'm like, yeah,
that's it.
Like we have a vision for what our life, we want our life to look like in many ways, but not like a, this is the exact project we'll be doing in 6 months.
Yeah. Can I ask about the vision? I'm always curious about this sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we're living with a friend at the moment from Australia who's traveling, and he asked me, like, do you have a 5-year plan? I was like, absolutely fuck no. But then he was like, you always But I do have, like, I know what I want to be doing in a much broader sense of the term. Like, I know I want to be, you know, I know what books I want to have written, and I know how I want to have shown up. I really want to get into YouTube. It's like smaller things like that. Like, my curiosity leads me towards some sort of vision in some way, but there's no, like, there's no plan. It's just like, I've got some vibes that I really want to follow.
And we're big on, like, we actually refreshed this few days ago. We like to keep in mind our core values as well as we go. I don't know if you've ever tried to figure out your core values, but we went through it again, and we made, you know, I don't know if it, so you get like these lists of hundreds of core values, and they're like integrity, honesty, creativity and stuff, and you try and whittle it down to 5, or even 3 is even better. So we like to try and, I mean, I guess we like to do that as a resetting exercise every now and then.
Yeah. Just so we know we're not like completely off track, but that's pretty much all that's guiding us at the moment.
Yeah, just like a vague sense of a few words.
Material
words. Yeah. Some of them are really funny. That some of them are. It's like wealth or fame.
What did you guys arrive on?
What did you get, James?
So I had, it's always annoying when you can't remember yours, but I had, so balance, capability, curiosity. Why do I always?
There's 3, that's good.
Yeah, that'd probably be my main 3, I would say.
I had autonomy, empower, like empowerment, and reverence. Like
that's great.
I really loved that one. I was really proud of myself.
Yeah, I like any word that has like a little sprinkle of divinity to it.
Oh my God, I love a little co-opted religious word.
Yes, makes it impacts, even as you were describing that exercise, it felt religious.
Yeah.
Like in an orthodox sense. Yeah. Which I really enjoyed.
What about you? I'm guessing, I can't imagine you're a 5-year plan kind of guy, but do you have a kind of vision as to where you're going?
Definitely since becoming a dad, I've had to, like, and by no choice of my own, I think it's biological, like start thinking about the future in a more concrete and realistic way.
Yeah.
Which sucks. No, it's fun. It's cool. It's probably due. I'd say similar to you guys, like, there are definitely things that I want, but I very much know myself at this point that I am fickle. And if there's any one consistency, it's that I just love shiny new things. And I think I know how to have a healthy relationship with sort of manic obsession. And like, I really enjoy it. And I don't really want to lose that because it's really fun.
I can see that. Anyway. I don't
know. Yeah, I think it's easy to have a bad relationship with that kind of side of you, and it can be really unhealthy, especially if you're not finishing projects or if you're constantly bouncing from one shiny object to the next.
Yeah, or illegal or whatever.
Or if it's illegal, that's a big one. But yeah, I like the idea that you have a relationship with that side of you that can help you thrive and help you creatively, like, get really cool shit done. Like, I feel like so many people feel like they have to get rid of that part of themselves, but I do think there's ways you can have such a healthy relationship with that part of you.
So do I. And I think it's like one of the things that I really dislike, I think, about maybe modern self-help and productivity advice is that sometimes it's just like, nah, like there's still that sort of element of get in line. This is the way it's done. And it's like, oh man, we're all flying kites in different weather systems.
Oh my God, yes.
Like, yeah, let's, I don't know, figure out what it is that's moving you and then work with it. At least that's, if I want to get preachy 40 minutes in.
We were talking about this the other day, like, we're a big fan of like the Tim Ferriss podcast, for example, and Tim, like, really wise, awesome dude, but sometimes I listen to his advice and I go, this is very clearly from a different time and place, like, and I think a lot of that kind of self-help tier, like the sort of Gen Xer self-help, just I really love so much of it, but so much of it, I'm like, this just doesn't feel as relevant to my life anymore.
It's interesting.
I just don't know. I hate to be one of the people who's like, you know, fine, back in the day when it was this and this, or like, I don't like to be one of those people who catastrophizes the time we live in or anything, but it is a materially different scenario. Yeah. I think
we have to be so flexible, I think, when we talk about this, and because times change, people are so different, like, exactly as you say, like, we are all moving through completely different stuff in completely different, you know, brains and bodies. And, you know, we talk a lot about like consistency and showing up in a consistent way. And I know that can trigger a lot of creatives being like, oh, I'm not a consistent person. And I'm like, you have to find like what consistency means like to you, because it's going to mean something like completely different to what it means to me. And it doesn't have to mean like every day. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, the very like regimented discipline kind of way of creating.
Yeah, the sort of like Hemingway, like leave halfway yeah. through the sentence. Yes. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's it. That's cool for you, dude.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna finish it if that's all right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Actually, that's a little segue, which I was gonna say was maybe gonna do later in the podcast, but since we're here now anyway, when you wrote your book, you hadn't ever written a book before, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just judging by your channel at the moment, you're also thinking about writing another book, right?
Yeah.
How is that from you? Sorry, are we going to say what?
No, man, I was going to ramble. You asked a question.
I was going to say, how was that, you know, shifting from either like something that you felt like you were good at, like in the visual art space and the video making space, to something that you hadn't had as much experience with?
Oh, fascinating way to structure the question. I might have to actually disagree with the premise of it.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. All right. Let me flip this shit, brother. All right. No, writing actually was the thing that I did feel most comfortable in.
So interesting.
Yeah. So professionally, I was writing like for ads and stuff. And then I've always been obsessed with writing ever since I was a kid. And I've wanted to write a book since I was 10 years old. And I had this incredible teacher who just, I don't know, instilled the passion of 1,000 writing gods within me. And yeah, I'm like an avid reader, avid writer as well. Like my grandpa was a writer. Both my grandpas on my mom's side were writers. Cool. You do the math. Two grandpas, one side. Yeah. Like, you know, come from a long line of just like neurotic word people. The writing was kind of like me finally feeling at home.
Oh, and that's then, so like, beautiful.
I think illustration for me was something that I knew I wasn't good at, which is why I think I felt comfortable to put it on the internet, because I was like, I always had that excuse. I'm like, well, if it doesn't
that's
go well.
That's so interesting.
It's actually really inspiring to me, because I've always felt like visual art is something I absolutely couldn't do, and that writing is something I felt more comfortable in. And just as a tangent, I've started painting Warhammer.
Oh, hell yeah. 40K, bro.
Yeah, 40K. Because I always had a story that when I tried to do it as a teenager, I sucked. And I always felt like any visual arts thing, any kind of physical art thing I tried to do, I always sucked at. But like, it's been a kind of a weird small way for me to take a little bit of perfectionism out of visual art.
Reclaiming. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Fascinating. One of my best friends in this whole wide world, he uses Warhammer as his meditation. He's like a vet, and he's like the main vet at his clinic. So he's got a stressful job. He comes home, he's, you know, like after slicing up dogs and cats all day, and he's got his two sons at home, you know, he's like constantly renovating the house. He's like, man, if I can just get 1 hour a week, just sit there with a beer, paint a bit of Warhammer, brother, life's good.
I'm fine.
It is really amazing. I don't want to talk it up too much, but it's like, I thought I would want to listen to podcasts and audiobooks while I did it, but no, I've just been sitting there just painting. And I'm like, this is so unlike me.
Yeah, it's so cool.
I fully know. I think there's like no better feeling than just losing time in a task that doesn't require the processing part of your brain.
Yeah.
All right. I want to go back to this writing being your home. So was there a lot of pressure when you started writing this book? Because finally you were, or did you put pressure on yourself because you knew this was your thing?
No, not even. It felt like I was just so happy.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. I think there's pressure now because that first one sold a bunch of copies. And so now I'm like, well, if I could quit now and feel like I, you know, fulfilled a childhood dream and, you know, it exceeded my expectations, or I could write a second one and fuck it all up. So now I've got the pressure.
you got a lot of goodwill built up. Like, I mean, I've been just seeing, like, I went on your Goodreads earlier because I'm a stalker.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I've never seen a Goodreads profile that's like that positive.
Really?
It's like,
and he's a Goodreads nerd.
I always go, any book I like, I always go to Goodreads and I'm like, I wonder what because one of my exercises I like to do is go and look at the 1-star reviews to see if, like, even this book I loved, some people find negative things in it. And I just...
Dude, have you ever seen the 1-star reviews for shit like Anne Frank's Diary? Oh my God.
That is horrific.
So this is like...
Unrealistic.
Yeah, okay. This is, oh, honestly, it is so good. So Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, you know, survivor of Auschwitz, like arguably one of the greatest documents to survive from the 20th century. There's this one star review that was just like boring, didn't like it. I'm like, oh, go off, Clint. Oh, it's so good.
That's a classic Clint move as well.
Vintage Clint. Yeah, a Clintage, if you will. So you're reading one-star reviews on Goodreads. And like, how do you feel? Because like, I just indulge the fucking toxic side of my brain when I do that. As you know, I
look at my Goodreads. James also does too.
I look at your Goodreads. You
do? Yeah, you know, I do.
I don't even read my own comments, man.
Yeah, like, I don't know why. I don't know how I've developed this. I have a good relationship with reviews, even bad ones. And I don't know how I earned that.
Yeah.
I don't like, if I get a shitty comment on my Instagram, like a real like digging one, like that will impact me. But for some reason, I'm good with reviews. I think it's something like, I'm just like, it's so, my books just can't be for everyone. And I, for some reason, I feel really at home with that.
I wonder if something to do with you, you'll have such a strong writing practice and you write so regularly, you get so much out there that by the time something's out there, it's like 20 things in the past. And you're
yeah, maybe like, it's like too far in the
it's
past.
It's like, I don't know if you remember at uni or in high school.
Sorry?
Yeah. It's like, you're not giving it any oxygen. You're like a steam.
Yeah. Like I'm done with that. Probably,
yeah. They're just
a different
like
person
in your trolley problem.
Yeah. Whereas I think like, with Instagram or when I write like an idea that I am having, it's very instant. Like this is an idea that I just had like 20 minutes ago and now someone's being mean about it or purposefully misunderstanding it. I find purposefully like when people really don't get what I'm trying to say to be quite triggering because I'm like, I couldn't have been clearer. Mm. And like, you know, it's just like fucking annoying. Clearer,
actually. Yeah, no, completely. They're like, hey, I recognize one of those words and it reminded me of this thing I hate. Yeah, I'm like, okay, bro.
It was reminding me of this tweet, which I can never remember completely, but it's like, oh, I'm sorry, did my 200 word caption not encompass every possible permutation of that?
See, I love it. See, like internet haters, I can like, I don't know.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
But yeah, to get back to the original, you don't have like your Goodreads for your book is incredibly positive.
Oh, awesome.
Like it's almost, I don't know what, don't go look at it now, but I can tell you, it's like out of this world. I've never seen that positive a review system on a book before. So
that's
I don't want to build the pressure.
Did you look at any one star?
I couldn't even find the one star on the main page.
Cam.
Oh, there was this one guy called Clint, and Clint was like boring. He didn't like it.
He'd only read yours and mine, Kampf, which he liked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, he found out about my Jewish heritage, and he's like, "That guy's a skinhead. Wait a second."
So are you talking about book two? Are you talking about process? Yeah, are you talking about what you're doing?
I mean, that gave me a nice little boost to do it. Yeah. So like, man, it's been like a gnarly little back and forth. I think, I was meant to write it a little minute ago and I didn't. Mm. You know how life can be. And I love her. I love my daughter. But like I'm starting that process again now, which is really cool. And it's been a little minute to get to the second idea, and I keep going back and forth, and I just absolutely love working with my publishers and editors, which I know is a bit of a priority. I know, yeah. It's like every time I talk to an author, they're just like, "Do you hate your publisher, or are you annoying?" And I'm like, the second one. I'm sorry. I'm like, I'll shut the fuck up now. Sorry.
I know. I love to hear it. I love to hear it.
Yeah, because you're not with one of the big five, right? You're with like a specialty, Hardy Grant's like a specialty illustrated book.
And that was by design. So like for whatever reason, I don't know what I did, but there was like this period where I got hit up by quite a few publishers, and like there was some decent ones. There was like Penguin and Simon and Schuster in the mix, and I was like, holy fuck, yeah, I know, dude. But then I'm just like, I don't know, I'm pretty anti-establishment, so like immediately I was like, okay, cringe, bye. But but like, you know, like obviously then the smart part of my brain ticks on. It's like, no, Campbell, you need to fucking silence that part of you that wants to break stuff. You're not a fucking 14-year-old at the skate park anymore. It's time to like take life seriously. So I started trying to take it seriously. But then like my logic was like, you go in a system that large, you get lost as a new author.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah, sort of people who are established enough to like have good titles but aren't the biggest generally try a bit harder. And like they had like they, I mean, Hardy Grant on like this, they're not by any means small,
of course,
you know, like yeah, they've like yeah, but they were perfect. I just couldn't believe it. And I love like that every level of the company is great there.
Great, that's so cool.
Yeah, like from like literally from like the CEO to anyone.
Oh my God, I really love hearing this. Like authors, like I that's the first thing they want to talk about is they just want to shit on their public. This is refreshing and I like it.
It's interesting for Amy as well, because Amy's self-published 5 books now. And
the last one was what, sorry?
Yeah, two fictions.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
And it's like that question of, is traditional publishing something that you're still interested in versus like, I think you have now a kind of weird, you've almost like been so publicly out there as someone who is self-published that it's like, would doing traditional publishing be a weird thing for you?
Yeah. We had a conversation with a traditional publisher the other day. And one of the first things that he said was, oh, I've been listening to your podcast. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then he was like, I listened to this really good episode the other day about.
It was just us shitting on traditional publishers. And I felt like
shitting on
them. Amy told me, I was like, oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Like we called them, what do we call them?
Leeches. Which I don't really believe in my heart. And obviously.
What was the stronger argument?
Like so happy that he was so happy to talk to us, but he really specified that that was the podcast episode he listened to.
Fucking hell!
Right, that's a bit of a leech move, to be honest.
Honestly, I'm super leechy.
Especially because I fundamentally love. I mean, I love books. Like, I obviously editors and people who work at publishing houses are in ways my heroes because like I love books and they're the people who get books out there. But it's also like
it's an interesting conversation. I think it's complex as yeah. well. Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's like all creative endeavors that like get commercialized, which is all creative endeavors, like almost unless they're super fucking weird. But it's like at some point there's going to be some bullet biting where things like need to appeal to what somebody perceives is an audience as opposed to an actual, which I find like really strange. But I mean, such is the practice.
That's actually a weird question I was going to ask you later was about your audience. And if you notice, because Amy's audience is so female skewed. And we often wonder if it's about creativity messaging or if it's like that
because
men don't want to learn from women.
Without a fucking doubt. Like,
yeah,
without a doubt. Like, I mean, yeah, only because I know mine's 50-50.
That's interesting.
Every female creator I talk to who's in this space, it's like 80-90.
Yeah, super interesting.
And I'm like, I mean, there's this one, oh man, this is probably, she's like one of the smartest people I've ever met, but this writer, Natasha Gillisieu, she used to write for the AFR. She was sort of like their finance writer. And now she works inside. She's just like, without a doubt, one of like the sharpest people who just seems to have thought everything through and then articulates it perfectly. Just like phenomenal brain. Yeah, I know. Honestly, you should get her on. She's just a freaking genius. But me and her were chatting one day about this exact thing because like she found, you know, like when she would write stuff online, like under her name, not under people that she'd published with, it was like mostly women interacting. And it wasn't that she was writing anything that in any way talked about like anything gendered, but it was just the way that things went.
Yeah, the way people learn,
Then she ended up referencing this bizarre study about how by and large, if you look across everybody, I think they actually did this with Facebook friends, but I'm not too sure. And like within proximity of Facebook friends, but like men and women, like on average, like men will have, I think it's something like insane, like 70 to 75% of their closest contacts as men and women 70 to 75% of their closest contacts as women. So I don't know if there's
super interesting.
But I don't know, maybe get the tash on, not just talking semi facts on a podcast.
Another interesting phenomenon is that 80 to 90% of Amy's audience are men, women, sorry, but then 90% of your negative comments are from men.
Honestly, it's so bad.
So it's like 10% of 20% of people are doing all of the trolling.
It's crazy.
Oh my god, all my haters are men too.
Yeah, maybe it's
I know, like I so rarely get a woman who's been mean to me. In fact, I honestly think I could count them on one hand.
And if a woman wants to say something about, like, if a woman has made a comment about one of your posts, it's almost always respectful. Like, I disagree because of this and this and this. Whereas a man will just be like, you're a fucking asshole scammer bitch. And it's like, okay.
All right.
We're just out here trying to talk about creativity, and we're like, what's happening?
Oh, how could you? How dare you? The fucking audacity. My goodness. I remember like early on in the game, like noticing all my haters were dudes. And I remember like just kind of like thinking one day, I'm like, why are none of them cooler than me? Like, it'd just be nice if I saw one that was just like kind of groovy. But yeah. Like, none of them, they're all just kind of fucking super fucking like embarrassing. Like every time you saw their profile, you just kind of buddy.
You started going on their profile and liking
I like their photos.
That's how you get, you don't reply to them, you just go and like their photos.
I'll scroll all the way back as well, find a piece of art they posted. Can I
dig into like the more vindictive stuff? Like, yeah, I'm sort of like a magnet to the not so pretty side of things. What are some of the thoughts that go through your head when you do get one of those comments? Like, have you ever like just wanted to be like I don't know, learn how to hack and then just
oh, I've had those fantasies for sure.
I've always been called a very defensive person. Like, it was when I was little, everyone was always like, you know, stop being so defensive. But I get this massive flare up of just like,
that's such a trap of a criticism, by the way.
Fucking hate it, and it stayed with me. Like
it's been very convenient for parents to be like, you're so defensive, don't talk back to me.
I know, I'm sorry, but that like I believe in myself.
Yeah, right.
But I do get that immediate, like, big, I think it's just like a fiery, like, I have a fiery personality, and I'm like, immediately I want to fucking tell this person every single reason why they're a fucking idiot and why they're wrong. And like, often I'll do it, and then James will be like, no, you got to reverse that. You got to reverse that.
Bruh. You ever been in a fight?
A physical fight?
A physical fight? No.
Yeah.
But it seems like something that I could see myself do it.
I was gonna say it wouldn't be not canon. Like,
no, I agree.
Like, yeah, if you were in year 9, I'll be like, okay, yeah,
check it out. Yeah. I actually, you know what? I did one time kick a girl in the shin, and the shin's like, that's like Nowie's place. Like, I feel like that's
quite, yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
Mm. How old were you?
I was in year 7, so I was like 11.
So old enough to know better.
Getting told. I did.
No,
know
you
better.
Were. No, I'm saying, like, it's not like you're 5 years old.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. I should have known better. I should have done better, but I didn't. And she had a little bit of a bruise.
You should have known better. You did the right thing. Like,
thank
fuck
you.
That chick.
Yeah,
I'm a very measured arguer, and Amy often gets annoyed at me because
you're a middle child.
Yes. Yes. How did you know?
I'm a middle child.
And Amy gets annoyed at me because she's like, "Why did you have such a long argument with that person?" I'm like, I was fine. I was calm. I was having a good time. I just was in the argument. Like, I thought I was doing a good job, but I have a switch which will flick when I play touch football.
Ah, oh, that's so interesting. And you've got your context when you get it out.
Yeah. And it's like,
he's such a bad person.
Yeah. But it's when someone, I feel like when I feel like is being aggressive towards me, and I'm like, how dare you? This is a non-contact sport. And I've never hit anyone or fought with anyone, but I will yell. I will yell incredible.
I can't watch
and
James
it's just
play
so
catch.
Out of my personality for everything else I do.
It's really cringe to me. He's just so mean and he yells at everyone. And I'm like, who is that?
It's really bad.
What's the meanest thing you've ever yelled at someone?
I don't even want
to
hear
it.
Oh,
right before I moved to England, this guy came in and I was running down the sideline, and this huge guy, he was like, he's like big, played in the second row, like much bigger and taller than me.
Don't just touch at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's come in, and I don't know if whatever reason, he's dived at my knee. And like hit me on the kneecap. And I don't know if he's just clumsy and he fell over and did it, but it was a tirade. I was like C-bombing and F-bombing him about how he could have broken my knee and how like he's a disgrace and like this is a non-cat sport. Don't come back here. Like, because I kind of feel like I feel like one of the big dogs at the touch game because I've been playing for the longest. And I was like, you know, apologize or you're never coming back.
Dude, that's
and he wouldn't apologize. And it's just, I would just never do that in any other element of any other part of my life. And then afterwards I walked away and I was like, oh my God, like what is wrong with me? Is there a demon inside of me that just comes out when I play touch? And do I have to stop playing touch?
Maybe.
What a strange context. Cause it's like, I mean, it is sort of the ultimate like violent, but not violent context. Cause like footy is freaking like, you know, get it all out.
And I think it's
bad. And then it gets back in.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It's way back in.
I know.
All right, I'm going to get this back on track. I need
Sorry.
I want to talk about
self. Sorry. I love a good
ramble.
People's like, you know, less attractive traits.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we never asked Cam if he's ever had any dark fantasies.
Okay, about you're right.
Trolls.
Oh, about haters.
Yeah.
Oh man, just this week. Yeah, all right. Yeah, dude, this is actually kind of funny and fucked at the same time.
Great.
That isn't an internet hater. My yesterday, my Facebook account, which I use for Messenger and Marketplace, so it's somewhat important, got hacked. And then I got completely locked out of the account. And I was like, oh, that's really inconvenient. And so I start like, you know, the error messages that are coming up, you know, I searched them, I had Reddit at the end, and I realized, I'm like, oh shit, looks like I'll never get my account back again. As far as this hack has been gone. And so I don't know. I like kind of enjoy a little bit of coding and that kind of stuff. I do enjoy the
internet-y
side of things. So I found out who hacked me and how, and like I was in such a foul mood because I was doing some paperwork at the time that was like really strenuous and like quite, you know, stressful. So it all happened at the wrong time. And so then I was like, oh, bring the fuck on. Like, you know, like I'm 32, like this is all gonna happen in cyberspace. It's chill. I'm not doing anything wrong. He's so fucked. Anyway, so I find out like basically exactly who this person is and how they've hacked me. I find out that he's like some dude in, you know, this particular location using a VPN in this location. And then I end up finding his WhatsApp number and I'm like, ah, it's on for young and old. You fucking took the wrong account, brother. So I end up calling him. He doesn't pick up and he's like, who is this? And I'm like, I've heard you can help me get money. So
hang on, so glad you asked.
Yeah. Oh, you know, you got to bait him and like, you know, like give him some, like, yeah, give him something to freaking like keep talking about. And so, I end up just like, sorry, got the full fucking WhatsApp chat.
It's like one of those YouTube videos where people scam the scammers. I love those YouTube videos.
Yeah, totally, man. They're so good. So, I was like, and then I was like, oh, I want to learn how to hack Facebook accounts. Is this something that you do? And he's like, yeah, just send me your ID. And I'm like, okay, can I send it to? And then the email that I had, just because I wanted to confirm. He's like, yeah, that's cool. And I'm like, bingo. All right. So then I just start talking. And then I was just like, why'd you do it? And all this sort of stuff. And he just goes, forget about it. I'm sorry. And I'm like, I can't get my account, dude. And he's just like, oh, I don't know. Forget about it. And then I'm like, tell me why you hacked me. And he's like, no. And then just tried to like start pitching all these weird businesses. Like, do you want help with? And literally gave me a list of like 1 to 14 things that are like money, lotto numbers, traveling abroad, luck of a job. I'm like, no, I want to know why you hacked me. And he's like, I will not tell you. I refuse to tell you. And I'm like, I don't know what to do, dude. Like, we're going nowhere. So blessed.
Did you get your account back?
No.
He wasn't like, I'll give you, he didn't repent in any way.
No. Wow. But I froze the account. I put in the frigging report and that's stuff. So he can't have it either. So I'm just a baby.
I love that he still wanted to work with you.
Yeah.
That was the funniest part. And I think it's because I opened with the anchor of I want money. Right. And then but I guess maybe in his head he's like, whoa, you might be a scammer too. And or at least you know how to fight.
This is a horrible advertisement for all of our Instagram, YouTube book ideas. I feel like, you know, buy our books. By the way, we're really erratic, unhinged people.
Part of the joy.
That's all I am. Yeah. I don't think I've got a... Yeah.
I don't think you've never hidden the fact that you're pretty unhinged as well, I think.
Super unhinged. And I think it's part of the charm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then people go, if Amy can do it, then I can do it.
Exactly.
Oh. That's funny as. Yeah. But I feel like, I don't know, if you like kind of, if your first foot forward is like an HR cleaned up version of yourself, like Icky. What's the fucking point? Yeah, it's super weird. Yeah. I hate the shit. Yeah.
I want to talk about self-sabotage.
Oh, yeah. Big of that. Oh, I'm a pro, bro. Yeah.
Great. Teach us your ways. What have you been up to?
I thought it was interesting in one of your recent videos. I think it was the one that you just launched a few days ago. And you said that you felt like this last 6 months you've done less because you were worried you're about to become really successful.
And yeah, unpack that for us.
Oh yeah. All right. I'll probably have to pay that. No, I think James, you're a middle child. You know what it's like to not want to rise too high. I'm a middle child too. I say that as one. Are you a firstborn, Amy?
Yeah.
A third.
Why are you so good?
I don't know.
You're so good at guessing people.
Also
third order? Okay, so like also, genuinely
Jewish heritage, did you say?
On my dad's side, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Exactly the same. Oh, so middle child Jewish out. Heritage on my dad's side. So it, I no totally way. Understand.
What's your mum?
Mum is like First Fleet Australian.
Oh, dang. The, nah.
Yeah. What about your mum?
My mom, we're from the first Polish family to ever go to New Zealand.
Wow, there you go.
These are such odd claims to fame, and I really like it.
Yeah. What's your heritage, David? Yeah.
Don't ask me.
She's really ashamed of it.
Such a white pastime. Yeah,
I know. Which English or British colony did your parents come from?
Which of the assorted crackers are you? Back to self-sabotage, which I'm friggin' terrific at. So yeah, I think the concept of success is freaking terrifying. Like, or maybe I just think it is, and that's probably like the way that I answer this. But I think sometimes, you know, when you think about it, like all you see is like the downside of it. You know, like particularly because there's multiple ways. Like I think financial success, you can at least have a bit of anonymity to it. But like when your success is public, inherently linked to some sort of exposure, there's I don't know, you sort of want to guard yourself a little bit. Because people can take shots at you. People can do whatever the fuck they want. And it's annoying. It doesn't feel great. Yeah. And I mean, like the pros outweigh the cons, but like every now and then the part of you that really responds to that fear gets the best of you before the part of you that wants to tell it to shut up takes over.
Yeah.
And in my case, the last few months, there's a bit of a gap between those two signals.
Yeah, it's really interesting. When I have a much, I love talking about fear of success, and I think it's a way more interesting and way more relevant conversation than fear of failure. Like when I speak to a lot of creatives, and when I speak to myself and I look at what I'm afraid of, like I think the fear of success is so much more likely to get in your way than a fear of failure. And like the reasons and like the different types of fear of success really interest me. Like when I speak to creatives and it's like, I'm afraid of, you know, making other people feel bad in my success. I'm afraid of failing after success and not being able to keep up with my success. Which I'd really like to talk about, to be honest.
Yeah, that feeling of like, oh, you peaked. Yeah.
You peaked. And the exhaustion of having to stay afloat with success. There's so many different reasons why people are fucking terrified of it. Do you know what type
of course.
Fear?
It's like your love language, but you're ruining your life language. Can I start with you while my brain doesn't? Yeah, what because I feel like you've articulated this so well. What fear of success fears?
I have a really... I am a big one for, can I keep this up? Like I have a real, I've got a lot of stories about momentum and keeping up momentum, I think. And I think a lot of creators have this because there's so many scarcity stories, like, oh, it can only be so good for so long. What happens if suddenly you don't have any more money? And because I was battling for so long trying to make it work as a creative, like all I wanted to do was write and I was just fucking struggling. And I always was deeply affected by this feeling of oh my God, I'm going nowhere. Everything's so stagnant. No one's seeing me. No one's consuming me. And I have this fear and this voice that says, you might end up back there. So if I want to pivot or if I want to do something new, like if I want to rock the boat in even the mildest of ways, there's a voice that says, don't do that. You've already got it too good.
Oh my God. And before you were risking nothing, now you're risking something.
Exactly. So that's really big for me. I think James, you probably have an interesting answer for this as well, but different.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. Mine is all about, I don't want, so I've written 4 novels and I have.
Oh, God, dude, I know nothing about you. Yeah. Holy shit. That's awesome.
And I have basically made no effort.
We started on you calling some big dude a cunt.
Right. Basically made no effort to try and get them published, like a very minimal effort, because I'm so afraid of someone coming into my creative practice and taking control of me. From it, I'm so afraid of working to someone else's schedule and not being able, because I feel very a very odd work rhythm. Like I can write a lot, but I write them in like I wrote basically a book a year, but in my own way. Like, and I don't want someone to come in and affect that process in any way. Like, I'm so scared of that.
I'm not gonna let it slide. You need to tell me your way.
It's I wake up in the morning,
yeah,
and just like the first thing I do is I go.
Write that down.
Is I immediately put myself in and just go I was rewatching one of your videos on environment. I just have the environment set up completely. It's like no internet, no distraction, sit at the desk 1 hour and just write. And that's all I have to do. That's all I do in the day. That's all I do first thing in the morning. And it's like that's my only commitment to writing. And I will usually write, I'll write about 500 words and then a bit more often usually, but never more than 1,000. And books just get done, like bam.
And how often would you miss that practice?
Never.
Oh, you do it every weekday.
If I have something like, yeah, sorry, you're right. I only do it Monday to Friday, sometimes on a Sunday, but I've tried to write more in the past and it's burnt me the fuck out. And
so
I just...
you found
Yeah, you
oh
found
my God,
it.
That is so amazing. How do you stay disciplined?
Very tight routine.
Yeah, it's my anchor. And it's shit. It's always shit. Like it's always, I have no quality requirement on that 1 hour. It's just like, get it out.
Oh my God. I want to start doing that. That is so cool.
I think people get really enchanted by the sound of it, but it doesn't work for so many people.
Yeah.
I've definitely been through periods where are you a James or an Amy? Take the time. Like I've definitely been through, like James errors, but I feel like I'm definitely Amy.
And also like sometimes I burn out on it. Like there was a time in the middle of the second lockdown in COVID where I just couldn't bring myself to do it for a month and like,
That's not on you.
But then it's like, and then I'm too afraid of having any of that like amazing magic kind of like me time taking away from me and by commercializing it or by having another external force come in and affect it that I won't try and get my books published.
I think it's anti-authority as well. Like it's like you don't want someone to tell you to do it. You want to choose to do it, and you don't like the idea of someone coming in and being like, "You have to do this," because you'd be like, "Fuck you, no, I won't do it."
Yeah,
that's having any confident. Expectations, any external expectations. Like I always, everything has to come from within for me. Like if someone tells me what to do, I'm like, "Fuck off."
Huh? I get that 100%. Yeah.
All right, your turn.
Oh my God, what was the question again? My fear of success.
Yeah, like what specifically?
Gee whiz, I think there's a lot of invalidation. Like I might have mentioned in that video, that's sort of like I got nothing to say. I got nothing to say. That's gonna add. Everything's been said. I got nothing. Sorry, guys. Bye.
Is that your excuse or is that the fear? Like, do you fear you have nothing to say, or is that the excuse as to why you don't take up space you want to?
Very good distinction, because I think definitely the excuse.
Yeah.
I don't actually fear it. I think I fear that I've got so much to say that it's just going to like upset people. Like,
you're too much.
Oh, definitely, man. I am. Oh my God. I'm like an erratic, manic fucking ball of fire, dude. Mm. Like, and my entire life, I've just been like, you know, going through a delicate thing and I'm like a freaking, I don't know, like a praying mantis on like, you know, stimulants or something.
How did you actually manage to sit down and write your first book then? How did you wrangle the words out and how did you get it done?
Oh, not too dissimilar to you, I think. But okay, probably like a halfway between. I would say like at first I tried to just get in the practice and like I'd wake up sort of pretty early. This is before I had my daughter, so like that was an option for me. And like I'd just get up like 5 a.m. and like, you know, try like write. And like my morning brain was better back then and it's not anymore. So
fair enough.
One out. Right. And then that was getting me places. And I had a terrific editor, Emily Hart. Shout out, she's the greatest. But then it all sort of coalesced in almost like a very short period. So like I felt like there was just so much prep. And then the bulk of everything fell out almost all at once over like, oh man, it was like a very like a laughably short period, and then it all just came out and I was like, it almost felt like all the months before that were needed. Kind of like striking a match in slow motion, you know what I mean?
That lead up.
I feel like nonfiction and fiction are quite different, and I did my 50,000 word master's thesis like that. Like it was like a year and a half of research, and then it was like six months of bam. Because what you need to have, I think I needed to have answered the question myself before I could get it out there.
1,000%, man. And that's exactly what it felt like. And then honestly, it's what this book feels like as well. Like, and I feel like now, like in this exact moment, like to hark back to the very first question you asked me, how am I feeling right now? I feel like I'm like, you know, on the precipice of that match lighting on fire.
Yeah, fun.
I don't know. What would you call it? Like impending relief.
Yeah.
And joy.
You gave yourself a pretty big task with your first book. Like, basically, how does the brain work?
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine that. Why? I can see why you wanted to put a lot of prep behind that as well.
Oh, of course. And you don't want to fuck it up as well. And there was the two components. So like once the manuscript was done, you know, you take like a short breath and then like I got to freaking get an RSI and draw all the pictures, which is like, you know, you just kind of like, I don't know. I suppose like just it's a huge part of life is just resenting the shit that you said that you would do and committed to. So I think there was a bit of that. But I was so happy when it was done.
Yeah.
But
also
a bit of a
I don't know if you guys ever felt that after finishing, like you're just like, you were a bit messier than you were, I think, relieved. I don't know.
How do I feel after finishing a book? I think it's, for me, it's a lot of the time, it's just a big, like, okay. Well, I guess.
I remember I love to reward myself. I remember after finishing my master's, I basically just blocked out 2 weeks. The Last of Us Part 2 had just come out. I went and I ordered Charcoal Charlie's, which for our non-Australian audience, it's like a chicken chips burger place. Ordered Charcoal Charlie's, a huge large chip.
Yes, yeah.
And huge large chips. And then I went down to Baker's Delight and I got a six pack
of
like
an Australian thing.
And I got a milkshake. And I just like, that was my first day. And I was like, it was horrific, but awesome. And I just like
binged
Last Part 2. And I love to rule with myself.
Yeah, I mean, we're big on, I mean, I think emotionally sometimes I can feel a bit flat, but we make sure, especially because we've got each other, we make sure we celebrate those moments so that we're not just pushing on to the next thing immediately.
I love that so much. Can I ask you about some of your awards, Amy?
For me, it's always like, I am like deeply bougie in my soul and I really like a good bougie dinner. It wasn't a Baker's Delight thing. No, it wasn't. I'm classier than James. Yeah. No, so we'll always
cardboard signs in the ads, just being like, I wrote a book. No, where's like a
what have we done? Book? We've done like, you know, like I want to go like Rockpool Bar and Grill, or I want to like go to like a restaurant that's like. I want to be taken care of by the people.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that. I love you know what you want. As
yeah.
Well.
So we nearly always do that. That's my treat when I finish a big project.
Let's,
what I love.
Let's go out to dinner is the ultimate like make Amy happy phrase.
Wow.
Immediately.
Wow. Yeah. I love that.
How do you celebrate?
I like things. I really enjoy gadgets. I also like pulling things apart. I don't know. This is probably a bit. Yeah.
Do you celebrate? Like
I don't know, man. Like now that we're mentioning it, I feel like maybe I don't know. Have I done anything recently that I've celebrated? Now I'm trying to think, like if I have or not.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's missing in my life.
It's interesting because like I think I mean we make a real intention to do it because like especially for me like I know how quickly I'll just push on to the next thing and I'll move the goalpost real quick.
I was thinking we were watching the Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary on Netflix last night and it was all seeming like he was seeming really cool and healthy and like amazing, and then the last thing of the first episode he's like, but the thing about me is I'm never satisfied and I never it's like nothing ever satisfies me and I'm always like constantly on the move, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah, that really scares me. I don't want to be like that.
But I think it's something that's like when you're finding success, it's hard. Like you can
get addicted to that feeling.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I'm that way either. I think I'm probably not that reward motivated. I think.
Yeah, like, interesting.
Yeah, I think I'm very like pro. I really just like
process driven, which is the and best I, way.
So yeah, like even when you're talking about it, I'm like, oh, I'd probably reward myself by doing like something that was not. Commodified like
yeah.
you know like
yeah
just I don't know like I'd probably like the other day I know this is one I rewarded myself by turning a cardboard box into like a rocket ship for
you
my,
or your daughter
sure no, yeah. For her but I'm going full pick up
I want to see
yeah man but like I feel like you know like there's obviously no commercial gain in this, but like I just finished something and I'm like I really really fucking want to do that.
Yeah,
and like
great.
I like pulling stuff apart, so like it started out kind of
oh yeah
like
I see that.
Oh, cool.
yeah
you can sort of see that.
Oh, stop.
For everyone listening to the podcast it's like Let's try and paint a picture. Yeah. It's a cool rocket ship, I'm telling you guys. It's very cool.
And that's the coolest rocket ship I've seen.
And then I was just like, okay. So then I ended up
badass.
Yeah. And so it's pretty crazy, man. Like, let me see.
So you reward yourself for finishing projects by doing more art. But like the fun art.
Yeah. So it's got like fully like working lights and stuff.
Oh, that is so cool.
I know, man. And I've got like this mechanism that like fully like the windows flap, and it was just like a little cardboard project.
I love how she just cannot appreciate how fucking cool that is yet.
That's the thing. No, she's actually obsessed with it, which was like such a freaking delight.
That's so rewarding.
And it was honestly, it was like obsessed in almost like a new way, because I guess like babies are like learning new things all the time, and so like I put her in it and we fly around the house and she's just like, this is the greatest thing that ever happened, because she's a little adrenaline junkie just like me.
Weird. And then how'd that happen?
Yeah, right, apples, trees together. But yeah, and so like I'm flying her around and I'm like, all right, time to like stop, and then she's like and I'm like, huh? And she's like, rah! Like, you know, like just like protesting. And so I pick her up and she immediately starts like giggling again. I'm like,
you did it.
You
did it. That's so cool. I mean, fucking celebration to me. That's so cool.
Yeah, dude. Like, yeah. And that's like probably the coolest thing that's happened in the past few weeks. So yeah, that feels like a celebration, but obviously there's like, I don't know. So I don't think I get burned out by doing stuff, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So something I want to talk about is, so like 6 months ago, you did your release of video, which was that you need to make a change, because obviously you weren't really enjoying what you're doing on YouTube, right? So what do you think what really evoked that? Sorry, you were going to say something?
Or maybe that was me just trying to break it and sabotage. I don't know.
That's really interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what it was?
Probably, yeah. Realistically.
Fucking hell. Yeah. We're so sneaky. Mm.
I know. Sneaky, sneaky. I mean, but I was also like, oh, I don't know. I think I also thought it was a cool idea. Like, I thought it was a great idea.
I was really excited about it.
It's not it's not like a binary sort of idea, you know. I was like, oh, this would be a cool way to like get out and do a bunch of shit. But then a bunch of stuff out of my control sort of happened, and it just kind of made the whole thing a bit hard.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I watched your marathon video, and first of all, like, wow, I was like, oh no, this is gonna go really really wrong. And then spoilers for everyone, kind of did.
Yeah, which is fucking crazy. No, that was real cool.
It was an awesome video, though. It was so dramatic. It was like, I was hooked the whole time.
Did you have fun making it?
Oh, of course. Yeah, man. Oh, and like, I had fun running it as well. Like, I just really enjoyed running. It's just the greatest fucking thing.
We're big on running at the moment as well.
Yeah.
Fuck, feels good. So excited,
we used to be big gym people, and now we're like become more running people.
True.
You get way better feelings after running.
It's dude, that's all I care about. I feel like, I don't know if you guys ever like dabbled down the feelings that you buy from someone illegally kind of path, but like I feel like there's so many people who cross over from like the former addict into the running world, and I'm just like, at least we're healthier, you know?
That and breathwork gives you such a nice high.
I'm not allowed to do breathwork anymore.
James is banned because he gets too strong a response.
I get super high. I get like, I start hallucinating, I pass out, I start shaking. Like, it's a real huge, I don't know what it is. Someone suggested I had a lot of repressed stuff, and I was like, maybe it's like third generation trauma from my grandparents being in Auschwitz or something. Trickling down to me.
Honestly, Cam, like, watching James do breathwork is fucking like really scary. But also, I love it.
Yeah. Shit, maybe I gotta do breathwork.
Yeah, maybe.
It's pretty intense.
Wim Hof, love it.
I want to talk about your early forays into YouTube. So you
time is it? So I was like,
because Amy's really interested in starting YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And has tried a little bit, but is finding it difficult.
Do you know why I'm finding it difficult? Because I don't get the, because it's a new platform and I don't get the response. I'm not getting any dopamine. It's so embarrassing. What is this? And I think I've got to fall in love with the process of it. And because it's new and it's hard, it's just, you know, so it's a journey.
And also, like, for example, your videos are so well edited and produced, and it's like, I think we're almost like, how do you get to that point? Like, I can't even begin to understand how you make such a crisp, good video. It just looks like so much work.
Oh, thank you. That's super lovely. Just to touch back on what you said, Amy, I feel like I refer to that in my head as like the transaction, like effort in, effort out. And it's like, how how long can you hold your breath before you get the reward of the transaction?
Yes. Oh my God. Great way of talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you keep going to a vending machine, putting in $2 and just hoping that the freaking Coke pops out and it doesn't. You're like, all right, I'll try another $2, try another $2. And then eventually you get like 45 Cokes and you're like, oh, thank fuck.
I am thirsty.
Yeah. Of course, at this point, you know, like they're all off, but whatever. Back to YouTube. Well, video production is something that I'm pretty obsessed with, I think. Like I really enjoy it. Yeah, I guess I enjoy the process. Are you guys into video production at all?
No, like I think it's just such a new thing for me, and I'm really bad, which is great. It's really good for me to come back and be bad at something and to not know stuff. Like it's annoying.
Not be competent, you're just like, if I could,
like,
just
how dare I be so incompetent. But I really am. But and I know it's good for me. I can feel it's good for me, and I can feel that I want to acquire new skills. And so I think I've just got to sit with it. And again, like holding my breath, you know, I'm a creator who loves to connect, like, and you know, I love to make art that doesn't have a purpose to connect with people, but like, I'm really here. I love making stuff that people want to delight in and consume. And so again, I feel like this holding my breath stuff is hard for me, because I'm like, fuck, I would really love people to see this thing that I made. Like well, so many creatives.
And you could immediately get feedback on, and you could immediately get engagement by doing something else.
Yeah.
What do you think the block is? What do you think the stepping stone is? Because not everything has to be well produced.
No, that's true. I know. Don't you worry. It's shit.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's the strength of the idea. Though.
Yeah, like, exactly. I think, so I have released a few, and I've just like literally given up on, like, I was like looking at all these different ways I could do it. And I just did it on iMovie with like the most fucking dumb fonts ever. And it was really fun to just, you know, make something shitty and put it out there with an idea that I liked. And I think I'm just going to keep doing that. And I think I've just got to remind myself, I think it is that whole, you know, you have to keep showing up, even if you are holding your breath. And like, it's just a trust of the process, I think, as I venture into doing something new.
And what do you want from YouTube?
I like the platform. I like getting to do something a bit longer. I like video. I like talking to people. I'm just interested in this new way of like alchemizing my ideas into different forms of art.
Does this podcast have a channel?
It's meant to. You triggered us. Great.
So, no.
We have everything in video, but we just like...
Man, I know this feeling, like when you've just like, I've been meaning to do this. And then like, you know, it looks like the whole world's got their fucking files in order.
And like a few of our files, you know, we spent hours trying to upload them, and then like the upload doesn't work. I'm sure you've been through this before. And like,
I don't like tech problems.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And then
I love tech problems. I'm quite,
I would love that. Like,
yeah.
I feel like you can be like that sometimes.
I can often enjoy James, people, but Amy was the one who was handling the YouTube channel, which was a mistake.
It was a mistake.
You the super user and you frustrated by tech. That's on you guys.
I know.
We have to do it.
It's mostly because it's much easier to motivate Amy to do something, whereas I don't like to work.
Yes.
So that's like, it takes a lot to get me to do
we
something.
Come back to the house.
Exactly. So my inherent instinct is to not work and instead just wrap myself up in cozy stuff and food. And
that's quite a charming inertia you got there. I like that.
He loves it. He loves it. It's me obsessed with momentum and James like just in a corner.
I'm like, whoa. Yeah.
And you're like the horse, he's the cat.
Yeah, it's true. I like that.
Interesting. It's an interesting combination, especially because we work together.
And like, getting the podcast up and ready is my job, and whereas the YouTube channel was Amy's job. So maybe I should have just incorporated it all.
You should have, and you will.
I will.
Yeah, just put some Baker's Delight at the end of the tunnel, and you'll be fine. Right?
That's so true. Except they don't have it over here. Oh,
you've
got
the
bakery.
Good bakery.
The bakery. Yeah, it's gonna be fine.
Yeah. Oh wait, no, that Good Bakery. I thought it was a franchise. No, yeah, you got the teenager.
We got the teenager. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, your channel's gonna blow up. No. But back to YouTube. I think that's great that you want to do YouTube. I think
do you like it as a platform?
I think it's terrific. Like it's there was a study. He said podcast. Like, but there was a study where all these people were surveyed. These young users were surveyed after using various social media platforms, and pretty much by and large across the board, people were less happy than they were when they started, like their session. Let's say it was like half an hour on TikTok or whatever. TikTok has some really interesting stats, actually.
I bet it
But does. YouTube was the only one that actually left people in a better mood.
And that's, I'm so like, cool.
That's the platform for me.
I freaking love it. It is just like, I've been a huge YouTube user for ages and ages and ages, and more so as I get older, I transition away from everything else towards YouTube.
Amen. Everything's so fake, apart from YouTube. Like, yeah. I go to watch Netflix. I'm like, you don't fucking know.
Yeah.
We've been talking to Cam for a long time. I want him to feel like he can go to bed.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
I've got all of these notes. I don't think I got to any of them. So,
sweet. Is there a Hail Mary you want to throw right at the end?
I did get to the ones that I really wanted to get to. I just wanted to really quickly talk to you about journaling, because I wanted to remind everyone that you are also a journaler and that there you have a lot of great journaling resources. And I wanted to ask you about your personal journaling practice and how often do you journal? And like, what does it look like for you?
happily so it's constantly evolving. Throughout the ages I've tried all sorts of things, like literally so much, and I'll never stop it, I think, like, because I think it's so good. And it's probably why, actually, to hark back on what we were saying when you asked me if the book was scary or if it was written with joy, I think it's probably the journaling definitely unlocked something there. But when I first started, it was just a lot of mind dumping. So psychosis runs in my family. Immediate family members of mine have like quite strong psychosis based disorders. And I remember, like, at 19, I was kind of worried that I might as well. So I was like, okay, I'm going to like write this out so the thoughts aren't up here, so they're actually on the page. And that was the sort of instigation. And seeing stuff on the page really, really, really helped, because it just like quietened down my head. And I was like, holy fuck, man, this shit's free. What the fuck? So like, I just kind of kept going. And I don't know. I think like part of it is just loving words as well. Cause like sometimes like, you get to the end of the journaling and you just like want to go back and, I don't know, your head's empty, but now I want to describe some person that I saw in traffic whose face looks like, I don't know, like a squashed egg or something. And I'm like, you just want to like kind of enjoy the process, like describing
stuff. Do you do it every day? Do you do it every day?
I try. There's like, if I'm in a good place, all my habits I'm doing all the time and I'm perfect and everyone else should feel bad. If I am, like, life's good. I like went through this phase where I'd only journal in my phone. And that was really, really fun. And like, and
it was, we tried your thing where instead of going on an app, you instead journal about why you want to go on the app. That really helped us for a period.
Yeah.
As soon as I stopped doing it though, like, I can go get fucked. Like, I'm always on apps. Like, I have to keep doing it. There's nowhere a point where I've learned to be mindful before I go on an app.
And why should we? I mean, we got like the best and brightest coders and designers of our generation. Yeah. Like, you know, we're incentivized to get us all like as addicted as possible to this insanely powerful technology. It's like, no, we don't stand a chance, man. Let alone children. Their brains aren't even fucking developed.
Yeah, for babies.
But like, that worked for a while. And then I guess I've devolved. I should probably catch myself and like get back in. But I still do that now, probably just to a less extent, I would say, than I would like. I still journal by paper. I journal on the page as well. And I do a lot of guided journaling. So like a lot of stuff with particular questions, which I just find like super handy, because you know that quote, like, a problem well defined is a problem half solved. I feel like that is what I love about guided journaling. So like, when you can come up with a question that like you can trap a bunch of variables so you can actually get to the core of the insight that you're trying to find, and that you can do it in a way that like doesn't activate that part of you that wants to be defensive around, like, you know, discovering that information, but like in a way that like curiosity or like feels like fun or inviting, then that's a freaking key in it.
I love that. I think for me, journaling is about figuring out how to ask really good questions. And I kind of see that in what you're saying. Like, it's like figuring out like how to find an entryway into your mind that lets you really discover what the fuck's going on. And that's why I like journaling prompts as well. Like, cause I feel like a good question can fucking relieve you of so much shit.
100%. Maybe we can end here, but like, what are your favorite questions at the moment, or just one, or favorite question?
James, do you have a favorite question that you've been thinking about?
I just mind dump journal. Yeah. I don't tend to do guided
journal. Do you know something I love, and it's at the beginning of my journaling compendium, and I go back to it a lot, is what brings energy in and what brings energy out. And you just I often actually don't even write this one, which is really rare because obviously I write everything, but like I'll do a big like doodle of like things that bring energy in and things that bring energy out. And like, just like, and it, sometimes you're just like, fucking hell, I had no idea. And it really recalibrates me as to what the fuck's going on at the moment. Brings me back to balance, I think.
I love that. That's a fucking strong question.
I used to also, I've quite a few times gone through the Daily Stoic Journal as well, which has been good for me. But I found sometimes I find the questions, those questions are too restrictive because they're really so specific that I can't, I feel like then I can't go on to do more my mind.
Finding Stoicism as a philosophy can be a little bit, I don't know, restrictive anyway.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's like, I want to go outside this or push. I find myself pushing back against questions like more than I was actually generally. I was like, I actually think this question is stupid and stuff. And
it's good.
Which is cool, but yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. But that's good. I mean, like, that's like getting you to be for critical. Sure.
Yeah, that's your, true.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm really quickly just going to bounce on this just before we go. I love that you, in your last podcast, were talking about how being a parent and making art serve each other, and I just think it's the most beautiful thing. And I work with a lot of, I'm not a parent, but I work with a lot of parents who, upon realizing that their art serves their children, I think we're so often just taught that art is selfish and so self-indulgent, but upon realizing that art serves our kids, not just in like a providing way, but also like gives permission for our kids to play, it demonstrates play, like allows kids to prioritize play and art, like it's so cool. And I love that. I just thought that realization was so beautiful in your last YouTube video. Have you felt that realization impacting your day-to-day?
Yeah, I really have. So that was that was literally a live epiphany that I caught.
So cool. It was really cool to witness.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I was like stoked afterwards to even think that way, I think. Mm. Like, I don't know. I guess, yeah, probably. Oh, we're going to full circle this shit. Mm. But yeah, when you asked me how I've been and I said I feel like I'm like on the mend, I think that's the exact reason why. Because like the most important thing in my life now is finally aligned with the most other important thing in my life.
It's beautiful. And I think they work so beautifully together. Like they're made for each other. I think that's the coolest fucking thing.
Me too, man. Yeah, it's real cool. It's real cool. It's all,
amazing. Also,
yeah.
Thank you, Cam.
Thank you, Cam.
We're so grateful for you.
So nice.
I really appreciate it.
And it was a joy. It was so fun for me to get to meet you and to get to talk to you because, as I said, I've been a fan for a long time. And I'll make sure I put in the show notes, you know, links to your journaling, to your YouTube, to your book, everything like that, because I just really encourage everyone to go out there and consume as much of Cam's stuff as you can, especially if you like Amy's stuff. I mean, I think they really complement each other really well. But Cam gives you a new perspective, and especially if you're into sort of visual, or if you want a really high quality video version of what Amy does.
I love what you do, Cam. So good.
Or if you're a man and you hate women.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Don't like learning from me because I'm a woman.
Mean to Amy, like, yeah, just jump on mine. Like, no, sorry, that's such a dirty note to end on. But I'm fucking sour about all those dudes, man.
No, I freaking love it.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys a lot, Amy. Everything you've written is freaking beautiful. And then, James, I'm meeting you now, but I really, I'm just getting a vibe, man. This is great.
Amazing. Awesome. All right, I'm going to stop recording.